Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to The Disappearing Mind podcast. I am so happy you're joining us today as we continue our series, The Stigma of Dementia. Today, I want to talk about when trust becomes a target. I want to set this episode up. I feel it's so important. All of these stigma episodes are very important. I think they're going to be impactful. And it's something that needs to be talked about with friends and family so that they understand. But in this episode, we're going to shed light on how individuals living with dementia, especially in the early to mid stages, can be targeted by sophisticated scammers. Yes, I said sophisticated scammers. We'll hear from a daughter whose mother, diagnosed with vascular dementia, was manipulated into giving money and financial details to someone overseas. We're going to explore how these scams unfold, why people with dementia may be especially susceptible, and what families can do to detect, prevent, and address them with empathy and dignity. In this episode today, we're exploring a hidden but increasingly dangerous threat in the world today, but especially in the world of dementia care, and that's scams. Our loved ones are vulnerable. Today, we're diving into how it happened, how they found out, and what we can do to protect our loved ones. Welcome to the Disappearing Mind podcast, a podcast that brings a voice to silent struggles, deep emotions, and everyday victories of dementia caregivers and loved ones. I'm your host, Dawn Platt. Today, I want to welcome Mary to the podcast.
Hello.
Mary, I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This episode that we're going to talk about today is when trust becomes a target. And Mary is a daughter who lived through this experience when her mother, who had vascular dementia, was targeted and manipulated by an online scammer. As you're going to hear today, and Mary's going to unpack, not just about the financial loss, but it's about trust, about grief, and it's about a heartbreaking realization that the person you love no longer recognizes danger the way they used to. So let's begin. Mary, thank you for being here. I want to begin with you taking us back maybe to the early stages or maybe signs when you didn't even realize, but when you knew something wasn't quite right in regards to this scam.
Sure. So it was COVID 2020. We decided to spend 8 weeks in northern Wisconsin as a family. My father, myself, my son, and my mother. And I noticed she was on the phone quite a bit, sort of sneaking around, texting a lot. And then she had put her phone down and I started to see heart messages and various things she was sending that I knew were not to my dad. And I spoke with my cousin about some things that she had noticed as well. And apparently she had confided in her that she had met somebody in the Peace Corps who was a 5-star general, mm-hmm. and that she was falling in love with him. So we were quite concerned at this news. I was very familiar with being in the sort of social media business of military people being impersonated and reaching out to people in the United States to engage in romance scams. So this was a big red flag for me.
Let's set the scene a little bit because I want the audience to kind of understand. Walk us through where your mom was in her dementia journey at that point. I mean, you're obviously traveling together as a family, but where was she at or what signs might have she been showing in and around the dementia? Did you see them simultaneously or did these come before you even suspected dementia?
She had had a stroke in 2005, and in 2015, she started showing strange argumentative behaviors. Mm-hmm. I was starting to get suspicious. I had a friend in the medical industry who had suggested perhaps as part of the stroke, she might be starting to show signs of vascular or cognition issues. By 2020, she was functioning pretty normal, but there were signs here and there. But to be honest, it had not presented itself quite as readily as it did as the time progressed for the next 5 years after that.
Was mom someone who typically used the internet, email, or social media?
Oh, yes. Mom was on Facebook. She had hundreds of friends and was very tight with the family. Facebook was a way for her to stay connected with them.
Mm-hmm.
She was on it all the time. I don't think she really felt that she had met a lot of friends in Florida when she moved here roughly 30 years ago. And so she kept quite close connection with everybody up there through that social media channel. And she was also on Instagram because everybody was kind of migrating over that way too. Mm-hmm.
So how did the scam begin, if you even know? And what kind of communication or messaging did she receive? How do you think that this person approached her?
I believe they found her through Facebook. She had been hacked. I think at this time she still has about 5 different profiles that she's either set up or someone set up, you know, impersonating her. This is a real security problem with social media channels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anybody that hasn't been hacked. They impersonate you. They get into your account. They can see all your friends and all your information. And most importantly, they can see what you're looking at. And so what I feel is this person got to know her possibly even ahead of time by looking at what she was posting.
Mm-hmm.
And reached out to her through the Messenger app and Facebook, or possibly the Instagram Messenger. And I myself get these kinds of messages all the time. And that's the suspicion of how it started. What's interesting is she was quite, you know, she wasn't showing a lot of signs of dementia yet. So yeah. I had a conversation with her about this individual. And I think I managed to convince her that perhaps he was a scam. I shared with her some videos from ABC News did on military romance scams.
Mm-hmm.
And she later told me, oh, I did talk with him. He admitted he's just a Vietnamese boy who is poor and has been caught in the tsunami and doesn't have his family. So it was as if she believed she had figured out that he was not who he said he was, but she didn't catch on that what I felt, it was still a scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think what's really wild about this, if I could just share.
Yes.
I believe this person morphed into 3 different people as my mom caught on,
mm-hmm.
until they could finally get her where they wanted her. And then as her cognition level, you know, functioning got worse, they really took advantage of her, because that person then morphed into a celebrity and a very famous musician on mm-hmm. social media. And the next thing we knew, about 3 years later, she was wildly in love with this celebrity.
It happened over a 3 or 4 year period of time?
Yes, this went on for 4 years.
They profiled her, they watched her, they changed up and kind of watched her progress. Is that what you're saying?
I believe it was the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So when she confronted them about not being a 4-5-star general, then they said they were a Vietnamese boy. And then when she may have caught on to that, they saw that she started looking at these videos of this musician, and she was showing them to us, and we're beautiful, very good looking musician, mm-hmm. beautiful music. And she just, that wasn't out of the ordinary for her to love classical music. And she was listening to this quite a bit. But the next thing I knew, she was in love with the person and claiming he was contacting her. And it got worse from there.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're just unpacking so much information that those of us who have never been involved are not aware of. I mean, we're just not aware of it. Let's go back to the vacation, the time you were traveling, and the texting and the heart. She had shared with someone, which kind of reminded me of what I might do in middle school or high school when I was kind of giddy, yes. or falling right. Was what she said, was she even in the Peace Corps, or was that confabulated as well? Was she putting stories together, or was any of it true?
He was telling her he was in the Peace Corps.
Okay.
And that he wasn't, you know, he was really interested in her and sweet talking her, I think, telling her all these nice things. And who wouldn't think that's wonderful? At one point, she even wrote a letter to the military asking him to come home. She was having his baby.
Oh, my.
And she accidentally sent that letter to my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's when we knew there was something really significantly wrong here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Wow. This is a lot. I mean, you guys noticed a lot of things, and thank goodness for your social media background and kind of your understanding. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I could navigate that like you did, but how much information or even money did she give him in the beginning? How did that roll out? Was it just little by little information? Did they take information and then move in? Was that a long period of time, a short period of time, or unpack that?
I'm not sure if he was asking. I'm sure he was at some point.
Mm-hmm.
She was good at masking what was going on with her at this point. It wasn't until 2-3 years later when she got a little more careless,
mm-hmm.
where this became very obvious. And then once it was out in the open, she was very out in the open about how in love with this person she was. She was leaving my father.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to live in Italy. He was very wealthy. I have a 30-minute conversation with her talking about what her life is going to be, how she's going to visit her friends in Italy, this whole grand scheme that this person was outlining for her. And then I would ask her questions. Well, how are you going to do this? Or I don't remember exactly how I would kind of fish the information out from her. But I learned that he was telling her things like, if you want to be part of my VIP club, you have to become a member. I'm going to send you a link, but you have to send me your name and email and phone. And that's how it starts. They have a carrot. It's to get your information.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get that information, then they can do more and more with it. They ask for more. It's a slow drip, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of my mom, she was not a wealthy woman. So we're not talking hundreds of thousands of dollars,
right.
Although I know a lot of people have fallen to that mm-hmm. level of mm-hmm. financial thievery, if you will.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, this was very strange behavior. Once she was out with it, with the musician, she was just saying things and doing things and just almost didn't seem to care how wild it sounded or seemed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did her response to you intervening, you said you initially had showed, did that change? Like, did it go from, it seemed like she recognized scamming, but kind of disassociated herself with the fact that it's happening to her. Did that change over time as you continued to talk to her? It sounds like as you're talking, I'm just thinking that you must have had to go along with her or prompt her to get her to give you information. I don't think you were actually just questioning her, or were you?
When it first started, I was questioning her. As mm-hmm. I started to realize she was getting, I didn't know if it was vascular dementia or dementia. She was also getting, she was having medical problems
mm-hmm.
and she was in the hospital. And I was fortunate enough to ask the hospital to have a psychiatric evaluation of her. And the person called me and told me that he suspected she had dementia and that she was in, you know, she would be declining if she didn't do something about it with her health, because she was diabetic. She wasn't really keeping up with insulin. So I was getting, you know, my father and I were getting that information along with all of this other. So we were starting to think, okay, she doesn't really know how to protect herself. It's almost like becomes kind of like a little kid that mm-hmm. doesn't know that the stranger doesn't have candy. You know, it's a lie. But yes, she was adamant. I'm different. This person's in love with me. And by the way, this is, you know, I've known a lot of people that have fallen into this and they're not dealing with dementia. So this is prevalent.
Yes.
But I think it was completely exacerbated by the fact that she had dementia, because she was hating my dad and I and getting suspicious and paranoid mm-hmm. through that process and then accusing us of these terrible things. And so then that just drove her closer to the romance.
Yes, absolutely. Do you think that the scammer influenced that?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Many times I said to my dad, I think he's purposely pushing her away because then he can steal her money.
That must have felt helpless.
It was awful. And we couldn't prove she had her own accounts. She started moving money into her own accounts because my mother didn't want to deal with her diagnosis. I mean, she didn't really have a diagnosis, but we sort of knew through a variety of factors. We didn't have power of attorney. We didn't have anything legally in place, which I would suggest people do a lot sooner than you might think, because we started to feel, I worried about my father's financial vulnerability being married to her, that she would be able to sign cars away and houses and bank accounts because she had full access to it. Now, we also started to get concerned about her driving and where she was going and getting lost. So I will say we put a tracker on her car. And what I noticed on the tracker was that she was going to the bank, or no, she was going to Target, then the bank, then the post office. This was a pattern I saw her doing. And I started to realize she was buying gift cards, then she was going to the bank, then she was sending them. And as her dementia progressed, she didn't really want to be secret about it anymore. She was admitting, I buy him gift cards, Steam cards. It's my friend. I can do what I want. You don't have a right to tell me. If I have a friend, I can do whatever I want with my money.
At this point, did you realize that this was someone in the United States, male or female? Did you think it was an international person? Like, what did you actually know at that point?
Not much, but I suspected because I knew enough about how this works. And there's a lot of information online. If you're suspecting this, you definitely want to do some research and learn more about these kinds of scams that come out of other countries. I suspected Nigeria, for whatever reason. There's a lot of scams that come out of that country. Well, we went to help her with her phone at T-Mobile one day, and he did reveal to me that my mother had purchased two iPhones. And he also showed me that there was data streaming coming out of Nigeria.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I want to dig a little deeper because this story gets bigger. You actually spoke to this person. Is that correct?
Yes, I baited him on Instagram.
Let's talk about that. Let's.
And by the way, it could have been a couple of them. What's frustrating about Instagram is you can block and report them and say they're impersonating a celebrity. And I think it's like whack-a-mole. I mean, they might be able to block them, but then another one shows up impersonating that same celebrity. So, full disclosure, but I noticed she was messaging one of them. And so I messaged him and started a conversation in a nice way. I understand you know my mom. She cares a lot about you. Tell me more about that. And he was quite readily available to speak to me. And I started asking him about where he was. He stayed very true to character. What's scary is they take photos, real photos of these people. They take real videos. They post them, they share them, they create. And now with AI, I can only imagine. I mean, it's an even more dangerous scenario because people can just make stuff up. They don't even have to steal it anymore. You can just make it up and send it. But they do all of this to sort of, confirm who they are. And he was doing the same thing with me. And then he started in with the membership. Oh, you should, your mom's so wonderful and so lovely. You should come with her to my concerts. I'll get you free tickets. And then I'd say things, oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I love that. I love your music. I would love to come. What do I need to do? Oh, you need to become a member. And so then, of course, he started going to the same thing with me. And so I had said, well, I don't think today. And then he said, well, I tell you what. And I said, I'm just really upset because my mom is very angry with me. We don't get along like we used to. And I know she really cares about you. And he said, well, I tell you what, if you just, he says, if you would just get me a $400 Steam card to help me with my computer, I'll tell your mom that she should, be nicer to you.
You're
And
kidding.
I was floored. Like he was scamming me to
Oh.
improve the relationship I had with my mother.
Oh, had dementia. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
my goodness.
I got angry and then he got angry with me.
Yes.
And some of his wording was threatening. And quite honestly, I got scared and I blocked him and never went back to that conversation
I don't blame
again.
You. This is so big. I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this in one podcast. I really do not.
I know,
it's so big. I have so many questions that I want to ask, but I want to move a little bit to, and I'm going to say he, because I'm assuming. Okay. So
yeah,
the scammer.
Well, could
okay.
Be.
Okay.
Right.
Could be multiple, could be whatever. Okay. I don't pretend to know any of this. I just know that it happens, period. But I just want to say to the audience, people who have dementia are more vulnerable. They profiled, they watched, they do that anyway. But when you have dementia, you're going to progressively decline cognitively, memory, judgment, processing, all of that. And he totally took advantage of that. And I want to put some safeguards in. I want to talk about other areas. Now I want to have a lot of professional guests on so that they could expose this more, because we are so enthralled in social media and there doesn't seem to be any boundaries to safeguard. But I want to talk about, and we don't have to get into specifics, but he literally took everything. Like he took, what I mean by that is he profiled her. He took her information. He used it as his will. He manipulated her to purchase gifts and give to it through these stories and things. But how much information did he get and how much control did he have over her social security or her income or bank account? Or what happened when she was no longer able to go out and buy him those cards that you mentioned? What happened then?
I think he would get angry with her. This was a world that was very secretive to her, and we were very, very careful about it. If we tried to broach it with her, she got very, very angry. So we had to be careful on that regard. Again, she didn't have a whole lot of money. When we got suspicious, she was saying things to my dad like, "We're going to buy a house. I've got money I'm going to pull from my account, and I'm going to give it to him, and we're going to go to California, or I'm going to buy a house down the street." She started talking about making major moves with assets, and that's when we got pretty concerned. Actually, that's when we decided we needed to pursue guardianship.
Yes.
And that was the major reason why we decided to pursue guardianship, because the financial ruin that could occur to both her and my father, it's just endless what these people can do and what they can get a hold of. At one point, she admitted to my dad that she had given him her social security number. She had given him her bank account numbers. There were times when I think she would, you probably know better about what happens with dementia, but there were definitely glimmers where she would think much clearer and all of a sudden act like she was questioning and knew it was wrong, but then she'd go back to believing. We had that happen quite a bit where she would come clean, say, you know, she didn't believe him, but then we'd lose her, if that makes sense.
I need you to share. This is so impactful, but I need you to share. Looking back, was there anything you would have done different or anything you could have done? I mean, your mom was her own guarantor. She was her own person. What could you have done?
I've had a lot of soul searching, Dawn. I don't think there's really anything different I could have done. I think I sleep well and I feel good now knowing that my dad and I did the very best we could with the situation we were given. My mom did not want to face this about herself, and there was no amount of reasoning, talking, discussion, no amount of research, no expert that was ever going to convince her otherwise. I know that's not necessarily the case with everybody, but in my situation, I had to deal with what was unfolding and just do what I could to keep her safe. I feel confident and good in getting guardianship. That was a lifesaver, very difficult decision. Very expensive. It was a game changer, however, for my situation and anybody else who's in this situation where you just can't protect somebody because they won't let you. it may be the only option you have. Would it have been much better had we discussed finances and gotten a will and estate in order ahead of time? Yes. My mother never wanted to deal with death, even
Yes.
when she was healthy and didn't have all these problems with her cognition. She wasn't going to go in and do those things anyway. Unfortunately, there's not a lot we could have done. I tried to take her phone. I tried to block social media. She would get wildly violent, angry, shut us out, hitting, throwing things. She'd get back into the phone. It was very much like a teenager trying to get in between two teenagers who are in love. If anybody's tried to do that, it's almost impossible. So I don't know if that's a great answer, but
Well, no, it's an honest answer, but you must have reported it. Did you get any advice when you reported it?
yeah, I sent it to, I think there's a site with the FBI that I sent it in. I never heard back. I often begged with the police. Sadly, there's not a lot that can be done. We are a targeted country.
Yes.
These people have highly sophisticated methods. They mask their IPs. Like I said, it's whack-a-mole. I feel for the people who are trying to fight this at the cyber level. It's almost impossible. I do remember feeling very angry and frustrated at social media companies, feeling there was possibly had to be some way that we could be protected.
Right.
At the same time, understanding that it's very difficult at the corporate level even to manage this. So I would say for those people who feel they can have these conversations or manage it, obviously blocking, sharing, explaining that these things can happen. A lot of other people have had much greater success because they have family that's much more trusting or open or just different personalities.
Yeah.
So there are a variety of things that can be done. But in my case, what I did most of was support her. Like you said, we went along with it.
Yes.
We didn't fight with her. We felt that was the most loving thing to do. We knew she didn't have millions of dollars to steal. Once we had the guardian, we felt much more comfortable to go along with it. She was wearing a fake wedding ring, and my dad just pretended like that was her new boyfriend. Had to have been really hard on him.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, one story that was heartbreaking that I'll share was she got dressed for a date one night. And I don't think my dad can tell the story without choking up. She really believed this gentleman was coming to take her on a date, and she got dressed, did her hair, and sat outside and waited for him. And of course, he never showed up. So it's incredibly heartbreaking. It's really rough on relationships. I want to share this in the hopes that spouses don't overreact to this, don't get harsh, don't see it as a betrayal. My father was so incredibly understanding. Really deserves an award for his level of tolerance and kindness and compassion and love that he showed her, knowing that she was struggling with what she was struggling with, and understanding that trying to make it about him was really not going to work or appropriate at that time.
What fabulous advice that you just gave there, I will tell you, Mary. A couple more questions. We're going to have you back to talk about this
Yeah,
because I
I would love
know
to.
we are going to get lots of questions around this particular episode that I haven't even thought to ask. But you got the guardian, assuming that mom had progressed or you wouldn't have been able to get the guardianship. She's progressed in her dementia and you were able to get that. Was that the point that you were able to freeze the accounts and change numbers? And was she still cognitively aware enough at that point that she rebelled about that, or explain that to us?
Through the progression of the disease, her ability to manage technology just really went away. And I bought her new phones that were more, there are great services and phones that are actually created for people with dementia. And I bought one for her, and it was a real simple phone that she could kind of touch. And But I knew it didn't have social media on it, so I was happy, and she never asked. I think she just lost knowledge of it. Maybe you would know better, but
Yes.
it just disappeared as an issue. And the last year of her life, he was never mentioned again.
Mary, in most types of dementia, most types, not in your mom's case and not necessarily in your mom's type of dementia, those type of skills would go much earlier. But because your mom, well, she progressed in really stages and phases, but she also had that skill. That was a skill she had. That was a skill she honed on. She kept that. She kept that longer than I think most people would keep who have dementia, because it was something that she had always done in her life. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give others on that balancing of protecting someone, not making them feel controlled, and protecting them? What advice do you have? I mean, obviously, this could have been much worse, and your scenario was so real.
First of all, I would say have the conversation with your loved ones early on, like now, before people actually get dementia. Mm-hmm. I think the more people talk about the fact that these scams are out there, the more awareness we drive just as a social whole, the better we're going to be. I think if she may have been more aware that these things were out there much earlier on in her life, maybe had we had conversations, or maybe had it happened to me and I had shared it with her, you know, 10 years prior, she might have picked up on some of these things and stayed away from it altogether. I think if you can have the conversations early, speak with seniors about these scams. There's all kinds of information out there, things that you can do. There's blocks and things you can put on phones, social media accounts, if they'll let you have access. Present it as you care about them and you're worried about their safety and security, because there are situations that are worse than mine, scarier than mine. Mm-hmm. And it really is a safety issue. It's not just financial. I do know of people who have really, you know, these scammers have materialized. They actually, you know, are in the United States. It can really get very dangerous. I think just as a collective family, being aware, anybody can be a victim to this, whether you're a teenager or an elderly adult. The more we talk about it, the more we share, the better off we are. Well, and the second thing I would say is go to an elder law attorney as soon as you can at any point in your life, or estate plan, have a will, have your finances protected. While you can still think about who you trust and and you know you trust your spouse or your daughter or anybody in your family, and you can assign them that trust legally, that would have protected us quite a bit more had we been able to do that. Again, my mom had the kind of personality where she was always in control and wouldn't have allowed us to do that anyway, but that's a little bit more rare than most people. So,
well, I can't thank you enough for being vulnerable and trusting us with this story. I truly do feel like it's impactful and it's going to help so many. Any last minute thoughts? I mean, you have revealed so much and you've been so honest about it, and thank you for that.
It was very sad. It was layering on top of a lot of sadness that was also going on in our lives. Again, having people who support you and understand these things and aren't going to judge you is so important. It was devastating. My parents had been married 50 years or more. My dad, like I said, was incredibly kind. I can't stress it enough. Show empathy, kindness, understanding, and understand that this is really not their fault. They're not being stupid or, you know, naive. It's really, in the case of dementia, just another symptom of everything that's going on that's so tragic in their life.
So many caregivers out there are walking the same tightrope, trying to preserve dignity while protecting their loved ones from harm. Mary's experience is a powerful reminder that scams aren't just about money. They steal peace of mind, trust, and emotional security. To our listeners, if you suspect that your loved one is vulnerable to scams, you're not alone. There is help. You can find resources through the National Center on Elder Abuse, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and other local elder care services. We hope today's episode helped illuminate the hidden dangers and gave you tools to take action. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.